Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc. All rights reserved.
We're back. It's 12 after the hour. Thank you very much for joining me. Thanks for hanging out with me. Thanks for being part of my day. I'm Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate, and I'm glad you're here. It's just going to be you and me for a couple of segments. I've got some things I want to say. I've got some things on my mind that I wanted to share with you. And the first thing is on my mind is, are the big three automakers coming to Washington and looking for money? And I understand that I believe them when they say they got a pack of trouble. I believe them when they say that, you know, if the government doesn't step in, that in a very few months, they will be in bankruptcy because they're gonna be out of cash. Now, I predicted that one of them would be going to go bankrupt, but I was a little early. I was about 2 years early. In my predictions a couple of years ago, I predicted one of them would. And the only reason one of them didn't was because Ford borrowed a whole bunch of money on some assets that had probably never had any debt on them. But anyway, regardless, I believe them, and they got a lot of trouble, and a lot of it self-imposed on because of the way they manage their business, and a lot of it was imposed on them by the relationship with the car companies and the UAW. The United Auto Workers Union, and so I want to fast forward over to that little scenario that happened the last couple of weeks. The three car company CEOs came to Washington, and just said we'd like more money. Well, they didn't have a plan. Neither one of them had a plan, and the union had no comment. Gettelfinger, I think is the guy's name. They had didn't have much of a comment. They weren't involved at all. Well, Congress said, because they were listening to their constituents, said, you know, we're not going to give you money without a plan. Go back and come up with a plan. If you want any money from us, you better go do your homework. You better get your cornflakes together if you want to come before us, guys. So they did. They went back and they came up with a plan. And they've been presenting it this week. Well, guess who came to the table all of a sudden? The UAW. I think the UAW sat on the side and said, let's see what happens. You know, we may not have to give up anything. And when they found out that they actually might lose everything, and because of a lot of pressure, I'm sure, they came to the table. And they're talking about being part of the solution. I don't know how much of the solution there will be. And if you note the tone of my voice, and if you hear any sense of disregard for unions in my voice, well, it's I'm being honest. Because I don't have a high regard for unions in the 21st century. They served their day. They were very useful in the 20th century. They're completely useless in the 21st century. The union model is not valid in the 21st century. And there's a reason why they don't have 30% union representation in the country anymore, but only about 8%, maybe less. The unions have been sucking these companies dry for decades. The big three, Chrysler, GM, and Ford. They have been literally abusing and sucking these companies dry, and the companies have gotten themselves beholden to them and gotten to a point where they didn't have any choice but to kind of go along with them. And I mean, they not to take anything, any of the responsibility off of the leadership of these three companies. We got plenty of things we can hold them accountable for. But the unions, the UAW, has sucked these companies dry. The work that they've done, but the demands that they've made have contributed significantly to bringing these companies low. There are two automobile industries in the United States. There's the big three that we've always known. And then there are the others, the foreign companies who come to the United States, who've been building factories for years, for 20, 30 years, really. Nissan was building a pickup truck factory in Tennessee probably 30 years ago, 25, 30 years ago. Now we've got BMW, we've got Mazda, we've got Mercedes, we've got Honda, et cetera, et cetera. On and on. A couple of more probably. Toyota. Hyundai is building a new plant in the United States, in the South. And so none of these plants are UAW plants. And they're all doing okay. No car company is doing great now with the current economy. But they're all doing okay because they don't have to deal with the UAW. And their employees are well paid and well benefited. These people aren't storming, you know, the walls. You're demanding more money. I'm sure everybody would like to be paid more, but who wouldn't? But there's a good relationship between the workers of these companies and the management, and the company gets good value for the work that they get done. The employees get paid pretty darn well. And so it's a successful relationship. The thing between UAW and the Big Three is not successful. Case in point is with one of the really dysfunctional things you've heard me talk about before is the job bank. As it was explained to me, General Motors came up with a way to add technology to their plants, but that meant they needed to let some people go. UAW said no. General Motors went back and did a little more work on their numbers and discovered that they could actually pay those people not to work, install the technology, and still come out ahead. And they did it. And they created something called a job bank, where thousands of people who were no longer needed by the company, that in our small businesses, we would have said, you know, let's find something else for you to do, or we'd give them notice and they'd go get a job somewhere else. Thousands of people, maybe as much as 8,000-10,000 people, were moved over there into the job bank, and they sat there for a long time. Now, I understand that there's not as many people in the job bank as there was, but it still exists. And only this week, after all the things that these companies have gone through, only this week has the UAW started talking about eliminating the job bank. That doesn't sound to me like the UAW wanted to be part of the solution. Until now, until it got where they realized that they might lose everything. So, that's the kind of scenario, that's the kind of thinking that you got when a union is trying to control the company. We come back. I want to overlay that kind of a scenario on a law that's being proposed by the new administration in 2009. I'm Jim Blasingame. 20 after. Stay with me. We're back. It's 23 after the hour. I'm Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate, and my websites are smallbusinessadvocate.com, and that's the main one. That's the Big Daddy website. The good news is from there you can find our knowledge base, askjim.biz, or just go there, askjim.biz. But either way, if you remember the Big Daddy website, smallbusinessadvocate.com, you can get to the knowledge base too. And also our blog, jimsblog.biz, which is how you can get to my blog, or you just go to the Big Daddy website and find the blog right there too. So I hope you'll check all that out. And don't forget to subscribe to my free newsletter, and which we'll send you every Sunday afternoon, get you ready for the week ahead. We're in our 10th year of the newsletter. Okay, my crack team has been providing me with some specifics on the research. I knew the generalities, and that was really what was most important. But now that I have these specifics, I think this is good. The Detroit News says that in 2005 there were 12,000 General Motors employees in the job bank. That means they were doing nothing but doing crossword puzzles. They were being paid $31 an hour plus benefits. Now the job bank is, according to Autoblog, is down to 3,000 employees, ladies and gentlemen, making $31 an hour plus benefits to do nothing. And only recently, as I said earlier, only this week has Gettelfinger, the guy with UAW, the leader of UAW, has he said that they would suspend that. Now, this has been going on, ladies and gentlemen, for a lot of years. This is money that the company has just been throwing out the window to get nothing in return, no productivity in return. How can they possibly think that they were going to compete against Toyota and Honda and those guys who are making a high-quality car in the same country with lower expenses? Folks, you know how that works. You know how it is. You can't do that. You can't compete if your numbers are upside down. So this is now, overlay this with what is being proposed. It's going to be proposed real soon. In the first 100 days of the new administration and the new Congress, they're going to propose what you've heard me talk about before. I mentioned it a little bit yesterday in my visit with Joan Pride at Kiplinger. It's called the Employee Free Choice Act. Nothing could be a more poorly named act than that, because it's not about free choice. It is that title is a lie, ladies and gentlemen. Let's call it what it is. It is not a free choice act. Employee Free Choice Act would be if you had the choice to do whatever you wanted to do, which meant that you could do it in private. So it's a complete lie, the title of that act is. And they also call it the card check bill, which is actually more accurate, because what's going to happen, and this is, nobody has refuted this, folks, a union organizer or somebody in the company who's interested in organizing, probably, very likely in a small business, maybe not unlike yours, somebody in the company who wants to organize or a union organizer can walk up to your employees at will, hand them a card that says basically yes or no. I want to organize. No, I don't want to organize. And your employee will sign that. He'll have to sign that while that person stands there. The law will make it so that the secret ballot will go away. So if there's a secret ballot and you feel a lot of pressure not to vote for this, to vote for organizing, but you don't really want to organize, if you have a secret ballot, you can say no, and nobody knows how you voted. It's your business. Well, guess what? With the so-called erroneously named Employee Free Choice Act, everybody will know how you voted, because you're going to have to vote in public in front of people. Now, isn't this un-American, ladies and gentlemen? Does that not bother you? And this is the kind of a last-ditch effort that the unions in this country are trying to make to keep their dinosaur from actually becoming extinct. Unions in America are a dinosaur waiting to become extinct. God bless them. They were essential in the 20th century. No question about it. My father was union. My mother was union. We were in a union household, and it was important in the 30s and 40s and 50s. But since then, it's been a dying breed. It's been a dying dinosaur. And they're trying to get the last, breathe one last bit of breath into this dinosaur. And this is what they're trying to do. And they've been throwing money, millions and millions of dollars, at candidates who support them to get them elected. And they've done that. They've gotten that done, ladies and gentlemen. So now it's payback time. And payback for the unions is the Employee Free Choice Act. Now, there are a very small minority of Americans who are members of unions. Less and less of Americans have any regard for unions anymore. So, ladies and gentlemen, we've got to fight the Employee Free Choice Act. Otherwise, here's my point. The union scenario is how we got the big three partially into their troubles. And you heard what I said about how the UAW is not really part of the solution, or they haven't wanted to be. Do you want that as part of your small business? And there are more details in this Employee Free Choice Act that are even more frightening than the loss of the private ballot, the secret ballot, the arbitration issue. And it's ugly, ugly, ugly. It's going to be ugly for small business. And I want you to I'm just warning you about this. We're going to be talking about this more, but this is not good. The Employee Free Choice Act, ladies and gentlemen, we have to make sure that it does not pass. 29 after, I'm Jim Blassingame, the Small Business Advocate. We'll be right back after these messages with Maya Sisk. Stay with us.
Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.